Thank you once again for allowing me to come and share, Tony. Thank you so much. It's been good to get to know Tony and his heart for the kingdom and for you as well. Understand that you're on an exciting journey. And Tony's just asked me to come and share a little bit about our story. And my heart and prayer today is that you'd have your own vision lifted. And in some way, if something triggers something in your spirit for this community, for this church, well then praise God for that. But we serve a wonderful God. We serve a faithful God. I'm going to be speaking about that today. A gracious God. His mercies are new every morning. Praise God. If you've ever been dragged through the mud of life, if you've ever understood the depth and the depravity of sin, praise God. We have a God who cares for us enough to actually forgive us and send our sins as far as these from the west. Praise God. A few years ago, just started to speak, we got crazy and we bought a property with a 7,500 square metre footprint in Albert Park, which is along Port Road. If you head left to get out to West Lakes, we're sort of tucked in there. As I alluded to before, we were a merger of two churches. We had $1 million in the bank, and that was sitting there for years and years. And it got to a point where we thought, this is actually hurting us. It's killing us spiritually. Either give the money away or do something for the next generation. And it took quite a few years to actually start to plan and think and strategize and all those things that are required to actually move into another facility. We bought the facility that we're currently in now for $2.25 million. We spent about $700,000 on renovations. And 2.5 years later, the replacement value came in at $6.8 million. And you're just going, hey, we're not clever like that, but we serve a clever God. And we're not that smart or wise, but we serve a God who is wise. He's the only wise one among us. None of us are builders, not many tradesmen in the church to actually get the jobs done, but God graciously provides everything that we need. It talks about for life and godliness, and life and godliness includes all things. I just feel to share about faith this morning, just in the few moments that we have together. I love the topic of faith because it doesn't discriminate. Anyone can access it, anyone can utilize it. It's the gate. Faith is the gate that opens up divine doors where we can grow spiritually. And you don't even need much of it because Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted and be thrown into the sea. And so I just want to encourage, I want to use the scriptures from Hebrews 11 to speak into that because it is so relevant for us at Albert Park. No one's arrived. It's still relevant and prevalent for us. It's relevant for you today. But I love what it says on the screen in the first slide. In the first couple of verses, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things we do not see. And I love the next line. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. I love that. I love it because a good testimony comes about, whether you're old or young, it comes about when you step out in faith. For by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. The testimony is that we came through a test, we came through the fire, we came through something, and God made himself good to us. I just think it's tragic that if we live our lives without seeing God move, I just think that's tragic when we've got God living within us. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. God, everything that comes from God is good, a good testimony. My first point is this, 3 points this morning from Hebrews 11. The first one, again on the screen, faith activates the blessings of God. Faith activates the blessings of God. We've been in church for a long time, some of us, and we've come to understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you were to meditate on that this morning, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you can say the opposite is true. When we operate in faith, we please God, and it pleases God's heart to reveal Himself and distribute everything that we need because He's a good Father. Is that making sense? Faith activates the blessings of God. If you go through every character, and we won't have time this morning, but if you go through every character in Hebrews, and the characters in Hebrews include Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all these characters, Gideon, they're all in there because they did something. They're all in there in the file of heaven in this faith chapter because they stepped out and their faith was activated and God did something whilst they stepped out in faith. Why are they in there? Because they stepped out and faith activates the blessings of God. Faith activates the blessings of God. You see, I grew up on a mission field with my parents, one of two Aboriginal Bible colleges in New South Wales. And Mum and Dad, I'm one of five kids. I just met a family here with seven kids. Mara, bless you. Is that true? Seven kids. God bless you. Mum and Dad, they had five kids. I'm one of five. And they raised us for 18 years without income, because they lived by faith. It was a not-for-profit voluntary organization. It was one of two Indigenous Aboriginal Bible colleges in Australia known as AEF, Aboriginal Evangelical Fellowship. And for 18 years, we saw food on the doorsteps. We saw shearing sheds built, houses built for 18 years, raising kids who were bigger than me. Who would eat a loaf of bread every day after school, each. And I thought that was normal, but as I got a little bit older, I thought, no, that was quite a unique upbringing. But I got to a point where I thought, Lord, I don't want to live off the faith of my parents any longer. I want to live off the faith of what You've placed in my heart, because I want my own story, my own narrative, my own testimony in what You can do, not just for my parents, but for this generation too. And faith is the key that unlocks, and there's a principle in it. Here's the principle, and I hope you grab this. If you're taking notes, don't forget this principle, because you're well on your way. I've seen your proposal for your building. Here's the principle. When you step out, God steps in. When you step out, God steps in. When you step out, now, not just a building, may I say, whenever God speaks to your heart and you step out in confidence and in faith upon His word, when you decide to activate your faith, God comes in supernaturally and does something according to His will and glory and power. When we step out, God steps in. And here's the principle. It's not about the building per se. I often say at Gateway, because this building is 3,500 square meters. People are impressed. It's not ANZ built quality. It's an old warehouse done up. And I say it's not about the building. What it is, it's about a bunch of people. A bunch of people who have gotten together, who want to agree together and have unity together and have a common vision together to advance God's kingdom together. That's what it's about. And the building is just a symptom of people doing things together, stepping out in faith. That's what it is. And so we don't worship the building. We worship God, and God does some great things. But I love the passage in Joshua 3, verse 15 on the screen. That says, the Jordan was at flood stage all during harvest. Excuse me. This is when they're about to cross into the promised land. Moses had been taken out of the picture. Joshua was the new leader, moving into the land of milk and honey. We know the story. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage or during harvest, yet as soon as the priests, get this, who carried the ark, reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, as soon as they, again, stepped out, as soon as they made that bold call, that gutsy call to step out, the water from upstream stopped flowing. Do you get that? The water didn't stop flowing before they stepped out. It was only when they stepped out, God did something upstream. You see, we like to have all the boxes ticked and we like to have everything sorted out before we step. And God says, no, sorry, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of the things that you don't see. God loves it. God is pleased that even though we can't see the full picture, whenever we step out, God says, good, I can get to work. I can get down to business. You're allowing me to do the things that I do, but it won't be activated until you step out and I step out in faith. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. And isn't this the pattern? Right throughout Scripture, right throughout the men and women of history, right throughout our lives, you go through the characters in Scripture, it wasn't until Moses lifted up his hands that the battle began to be won. It wasn't until David got his slingshot and swung the thing that God actually stepped in. It wasn't until Abraham picked up his household and left a comfortable land into an unknown place or picked up that knife. The point is, when Peter got out of the boat, that's when God stepped in. When Peter stepped out. And so, church, my heart this morning is just to encourage us that God is absolutely faithful. He's absolutely faithful. You can go to the bank on what God says. You can take what he says. God is a God that cannot lie. It might be on the screen there. Pete, God is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't change his mind. He's always on time. He's never late. He doesn't sleep nor slumber. He is the faithful one among us. And will he not fulfill his word? Will he not accomplish his word? And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. If you're here this morning and God's depositing something of himself within you, you go, Lord, is that you speaking? Is that aligned with your word? God's trying to get some stuff done through his church. And God's a covenant-keeping God, and he will continue to be faithful. I remember there were some major gates for us to get through. And you're going to hear the good stuff. I will allude to some of the bad stuff, the trying stuff, the hard stuff. There were numerous gates for us to walk through before we got to our current facility. No doubt there's going to be gates that you're going to have to walk through, and you've come through. I think pre-approval's been given. It's a massive gate. First of all, we had to get our members on board. Oh man, those members meetings. Have you had members meetings? Lord, we said, Lord, it got to a point, you go, Lord, see, not everyone wants to be on board with something new because it's scary. And it's like, what will my life look like? How will I survive in this change? Or what do I have to contribute to? And we put it to the members after consultation, communication, the first gate that we got through, which could have shut the whole thing down if fear went through the camp. But praise God, we got through the first gate with a vote of 92%. Oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. There are about 6 or 7 gates for us to get through, and any gate which closed on us would have shut the whole thing down. The second gate is that we need to get our finances up. Talk about that in a moment, because BFS wouldn't give us funding without seeing our finances lift for that time. We had to sell our old building, and our old building was located next to a little power station. It's like, zzz, zzz. Thinking, who's going to buy that? 2 offers came in. There are only 2 offers. The first offer was for $490,000. thought, praise God, it's an offer. At least someone wants to buy it. The second offer we got was at $750,000. We said, we'll take that one. We had to get council approval. And if you're already there for that, praise God. We had a contract signed and we were heading towards Christmas and we couldn't fulfill the demands of the contract because we needed the zoning of the place turning from a food production. It was a bakery back in the 1950s and it had to be rezoned to a place of worship. And we thought it would come through, but we couldn't fulfill the contract and the vendors started charging us $1,500 a week in interest. So we thought, okay, we're good for a month, 6K, 2 months, hey, big picture, won't look so bad. But then we're moving into Christmas, we thought, boy, the council, they don't get much done over Christmas. And the vendor, he was playing hardball with us. We thought, Lord, do we call his bluff and pull out? Or do we roll with the punches? The council, after receiving up to 28 submissions as to why we shouldn't be where we are now, undesirable people, too much noise, the aesthetics of the place, all these things which came in, parking, traffic, they said, you're not going to get a meeting till March at the DAP, the approval section of the council. I thought, boy, November, December, January, February, March at $1,500 a week. And if it didn't get through then, it would have had to have gone to the state council body for them to adjudicate whether we can be rezoned as a place of worship. And there were some moments there because, hey, we're accountable to the members, faithful people have been giving. We said, Lord, what do we do? And I felt the Lord give us a picture. It was a hard picture, but one of the best pictures. And the picture was when the Hebrews came up out of Egypt, God set them free, the blood over the doorposts, all those things. And God led them not to their destination straight away before they crossed the Red Sea, but it was a number of days before they got there. And it says in Scripture that God hemmed them in by the Red Sea and the mountains. And if you've been there, a million people going through a bit of a chasm in the mountain is a scary proposition when Pharaoh's after you. And that's how I felt. That's how us leaders felt, because we thought, Lord, $1,500 a week, we're bleeding money and we're squeezed by what's ahead of us, what's around us. There's no way through. I said, Lord, why? Why couldn't he just approve it before Christmas? Everything's good. We can save $20,000. Why? Felt the Lord say to us, say to me, Jeremy, if it happened too easily, you would have been pumping your chest thinking that it was all on you. But when you get to a place where you feel that there is no way ahead, the 11th hour, then and only then you can acknowledge that it's me who opens up the doors. You know what? On this end, $20,000, you think, what a great investment to learn that this stuff only happens by the grace of God, and we better get used to that and give him the glory, because only he can open up the doors for these things to fly. And so all these gates we had to get through, all these gates. See, in these moments, you learn great things and deep things about God and yourself. I had to get all the ego out of me. I said, Lord, I think it's for your glory. I don't think it's for me. It's not a bit, the Lord allows you to go down a path to go, well, who am I? I'm just an instrument in God's hands to do what I do as part of the body. And that's some of the great things that he does. But God is so faithful. There's a picture of our kitchen. I just want to tell you a story just in how faithful God is. Man, I got story after story, but I talk about the kitchen because we had no money for a kitchen. We thought we're probably 3 or 4 years away before we get our kitchen up and going. I was on Gumtree and I love fish and chips, so I thought I'd go and buy a little electric deep fryer from a cafe. So I went down and picked it up, said, hey, we're just for a church and just want to get a kitchen going. And he says, hey, if it's for a church, you can have it for free. I said, hey, mate, bless you. Thank you so much. He goes, you know what? I've got another deep fryer for you. I said, oh, that's cool. Hey, bless you. Thank you so much. He goes, look, true story. He goes, we're doing a renovation. He goes, see all those cups and those plates and the cutlery and all the drinks and all the bowls and all the utensils. It was all against the wall. He goes, just have it all. So praise God, bless you. He goes, come back next week. I've got some more gear for you as well. So I went back the next week and he brings out all the big baking trays and pots. And you can see all the stainless steel tables. He goes, just take all the tables. And I joke, but it's true. He even threw in the kitchen sink that was given. And he gave us big pizza ovens. I felt like that man and woman driving out of IKEA. It's like, start the car, quick. Because he changes his mind. Oh, just story after story. We had $60,000 set aside for the carpet in the auditorium alone. And someone found a contact who was pulling out the carpet squares from government buildings in town who gave it to us for $1 a carpet square. $4 a square meter. At Bunnings, it's up to $17+ a square meter. Brand new. Go and praise the Lord. Praise God. See, when you step out, God just wants to do stuff. He just wants to bless. Why doesn't he want to bless? Doesn't he want to bless his children, bless his church, his bride? Doesn't he want to bless his bride? Sometimes I'm all for the spiritual stuff. I'm for casting out devils and charismatic gifts and whatever. If it says that, I'm into it. But sometimes we need tangible things to see and touch and feel. Sometimes we need tangible things to understand God's heart towards us. Sometimes. So I'm not against that. I'm for everything that God wants to give, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's anything that God wants to give. God just wants to bless his church. The second point I feel to bring out from Hebrews 11 on the screen is this, that God works in partnership with people. God works in partnership with people. You'll notice again that in every character, in every story in Hebrews, that God partnered with each person. God partnered with people. On the screen, a verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell. Crazy gear marching on the walls 7 times, but they did something. They partnered with God. It was until they shouted, the walls came down. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, all because of God partnering with people. Church, I say to Gateway, you just get the sense that God wants to get something done. And God says, I've given you my word. I've given you my promises. I've given you my wisdom. I've given you my blood. I've given you my spirit. In fact, I've given you my life. I've given you absolutely everything. And he's like saying, get on with it. Because I've given you everything we need, you need, for godliness and life. God's left nothing in the tank. But he's looking for partners in ministry who will be yoked with the Lord to advance his kingdom. Says it, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, looking to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. God's done everything, and yet he set it up to partner with people. I'm thinking, well, Lord, you did pretty well in creation. We just spoke it into existence. Let there be trees. Boing, there's a tree. That's pretty cool. You've got angels who won't disobey you. Why on earth would you want to partner with your church, with us individually, young and old, black and white? Why would you want to partner with us? The reason he's chosen to partner with us is because he's bound himself to us, where we are the bride and he's the groom, and he very rarely does anything without partnering with people. And the message in that is that God wants to partner with you. Individually, he wants to partner with this church to be his hands and feet in Victor Harbor. He wants to partner with you. Who else is he going to partner with if it's not you? Who else has access to the throne room of God? Who else has access to his promise? Who else? It's the kingdom and the people of God. I say to our church, hey, we've only been able to progress because of people partnering with Christ in their various gifting, in their serving, in their giving, in what they could do. The body of Christ, all needing each other. I say, hey, you need me and I need you. We need each other. And it's when we get hold of that collective unity and the vision that God gives us, where then God says, right, I'm just going to blow this thing forward. So we were praying, we said, Lord, I need some partners in ministry because this thing's going to cost $3 million. We just need some more partners. And the church that we're in, the old church, we had a few vacant seats. Funny the mentality of churches. Because people say, well, we don't need to buy a building because we've got a few vacant seats. Thinking, my goodness, we've got 13 car parks. And we know where to have a cup of tea and coffee and no youth space. But they wanted to see every, and I said, Lord, well, can you help fill up the seats, Lord? Because we need some partners in ministry to help us put the vote up, the hand up, when it comes to vote. So we just pray. We say, Lord, can you just give us 3 families just to help us understand that God's got us? And God graciously brought 3 families who served, who contributed, and that was a signal that, boy, if these families are coming in, that just makes it easy to vote on for those people who are a little bit reluctant to step out in such a step. We need people to financially give, and there's a slide there again, Pete, I think, on the giving board. There we are. That's sitting in the old hallway now, but we said, hey, if we can get 80 people at $63 each, you know, why $63? It wasn't divisible by 5 grand, what the magic number was. So it came at 63, and we thought for pensioners, anything above 65 may psychologically hurt. So we thought 63, 80 people, $63. If we can do that, we can go shopping up to $3 million, or whatever it was. So we communicated it. We said, get your pledges out, write it down, how much are you going to do, all that stuff. We opened up the envelopes. What are people going to pledge? The money came in less than what we're actually bringing in each week. I thought, my Lord. What? Did we not communicate properly? Did we not understand? What's going on? And that was one of the things to say, Lord, in my heart, I'm thinking, we're not going to fly. Because we had to get our money up for BFS to lend us the money. And someone had a picture, a dream. And everything has to be tested, of course. The dream was, in a nutshell, we were swimming down the ocean. Some people were playing in the sand, church people. Some people were in the the shallow depths, and some surfers were out catching some waves, but there were no waves coming. But the man who had the dream had a bird's eye view of what was going on, and he looked, and the people who felt that there was no waves coming, the surfers who felt that there were no waves coming to catch, he actually saw from a bird's eye view that the wave was actually coming, and the wave was being stirred up by the prayers of people. And as soon as you told me that, in my spirit, I thought, Flip, we're going to fly. Even though the pledges, whether there was a mix-up or not, it came in. We were averaging $2,700 a week. From that first week, it jumped to 3-1. Within the coming months, it went to 3-8, 4-2, 4-7, 5-1. Just like, it's going to fly. And that word of encouragement from the man who saw the wave coming, we couldn't see it. We thought it was a long way off. And he's going, no, it's just there, it's coming. And praise God, because we need encouragement in this. I remember having working bees. And you think everyone's on board. You think, let's go. And you rock up and there's only a small bunch of people there. Oh, you don't express it, but in your heart, you're disappointed and discouraged. And there's some things God cannot do. Oh, scary stuff. You know what? Some things that God can't do. God can't paint walls. Notice that God, he could if he wanted to, but God generally doesn't paint walls. He's looking for people to put the paintbrush in the paint tin and start painting the wall. Because he wants to partner with people. So if that's a word for you this morning, how am I being involved? How am I serving? How am I contributing to Victor Harbor Baptist Church? Let me say, don't miss out on the journey, because God wants to partner with you to see his kingdom established and further advance. Third point. Third point I want to impress upon you on the screen is, because we are people of faith, we should be expectant. We should be expectant. Hebrews 11 is put there is an encouragement to us that because we have God, because we have his promises, and because we have all of heaven backing us up, we should be the most expectant people on the face of the earth. I believe it. We read in Hebrews that all these people were living by faith when they died. They didn't even receive the things promised. They only saw them from afar and welcomed them, but they were so expectant of what God had said and in what God was going to do. Can I just say, Victor Harbor Baptist Church, as we partner together and trust his word, expectancy should be the attitude we carry in our spirits. What do I mean by that? Is yes, sometimes we forget God and sometimes we get complacent, but something should get into our spirit and think, Lord, if you've brought us here so far, Philippians 1:6, he began a good work, we'll bring it to completion. If you've brought us this far, surely you're not bringing us this far to dump us and leave us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Surely expectancy in our heart says, God, I know what you've said in your word. I've come to understand a little bit about your nature and character. We should be so expectant each week, each day, in whoever walks through these doors on a Sunday and say, Lord, what are you going to do today? We should be on our tippy toes going, Lord, what are you going to be doing today? Who are you going to save today? Who are you going to set free today? Who are you going to heal today and restore today? That's what I tell my church. How can we not be expectant when God's given us so much? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has in store for those who love him. I just think of that, man, I'm dreaming of some great things. I'm thinking, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has in store. Precious, precious promises. We've got a prayer board and just got a picture here from Ephesians 3:20. This, if you've got a toilet door. I suspect you do. Put it on your toilet door. And quote it every day and pray it. When you pray with your kids, pray this over your kids. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Say it again. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we can ask, think, or imagine. Isn't that awesome? That's God's word to us. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't expectancy take you into the depths of God, the hunger for God, and God just keeps dropping jewels? Holy, holy, holy in Revelation. Just man, I'm seeing different facets of your nature and character. How can I not help but worship God? I like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, have mercy on me. And they told him to be quiet. He cried out even more, Jesus. And Jesus heard the hunger, the expectancy. He stops the entourage and he says, hey, call him. They said, Bartimaeus, they're calling you. Jesus says, what do you want? Jesus, I want to see. Just the expectancy. Immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. In Luke 19, we know Zacchaeus, he was expectant, short man. When he ran ahead, he jumped up in the tree. Expectant. What happened to Zacchaeus? He got saved that night. Salvation has come to your house tonight. 300 in the upper room, Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came, waiting, praying, expecting God to pour himself. And that he did. The Holy Spirit was poured out, filled with power. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Expectancy. Jeremiah 33, ask of me and I'll show you great things, things you've never seen before. Psalm 8, Psalm 7, somewhere there, it says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Seeking, you shall find. Knocking, the door will be open. All these things. It's like he invites us to the banqueting table to feed us on all sorts of good things. Church, I can just finish off with this. If we are faithful with little things, he'll be faithful and he'll entrust us with more. No doubt. It's not so much about the buildings, but I'll say this, that if he can provide a building for us, and that he will he not do so much more for people? You know what I mean by that? Is that Jesus didn't die for buildings, he died for people. Don't forget that. The buildings are to facilitate what God wants to do. And I say again at Gateway, I say, hey, this building, this is not about me. This is not about even us today. It's generational. God is a generational God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is for the future generations. What you're moving into is a future generation. That one of the greatest blessings is that we have the responsibility and privilege we have is to actually give to the next generation. So you're never too old, never too young, for the next generation to keep sowing in by faith, by faith, by faith. And God will give you everything that we need if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Is that all right? Go for it. Wish I was here, Tony, with you a little bit. I'll have to duck down and get the plans out with you. I'd like to pray for us. Pray for you. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a great God. We thank you that we've been called in to your narrative and story for such a time as this. Father, Lord, I'd ask for your favor and your grace and your provision and your counsel to be upon this house, Lord, we pray. Father, when times get tough, I pray that by your Spirit you may encourage, that you may give us the peace of mind to bring unity through the words that we speak, that fear may not wash through the camp, but faith-filled words. We know that life and death is found in the power of the tongue. Father, I pray for wisdom to be upon the leaders in this season, especially, Lord, with the hundreds of decisions that need to be made. Lord, I just pray that you might pour out, Father, on this house, Lord, with your Spirit. Give an open heaven above Victor Harbour Baptist, Lord, where people would be able to look in and say, boy, your God is good. Your God is gracious. How can that happen if it weren't for God? So, Lord, we pray that you might allow us to lift our vision to you and see you for who you are, for what you want to do. And, Lord, not only that, but how we can play our role in the ministry to be a co-worker with you, we pray. We ask for your blessing. We thank you that he who began a good work will bring it to completion. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that everything was made by him, for him, and through him. And we thank you that all the glory goes to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Victor Harbour.